Good morning.
Happy Sabbath.
Today's scripture reading is taken from Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Amen.
Amen. Whew, you ever felt deserted? Thank you, choir, for that song. Thank you so much. Maybe the last few years, I've been kind of persecuted. Or maybe it's that the few years before that, I got kind of spoiled. You decide which it is. You see, when Jenny and I got married, she tended to iron my shirts. When the kids came along and she was at home, she tended to iron my shirts. When the kids got bigger and she had to get a full-time job too, I've been on my own ever since. I was reminded of that again yesterday as I was pulled out the iron to iron my shirt, and I've got this all down just fine, you know? Get the ironing board out, set it up, go get the iron, get it set up, get the thing hooked up and set up and let it get going good and get warmed up while I go off and get my shirt and get everything done. So I come back in here and I started ironing my shirt. Nothing happened. Touched the iron, it was cold. What in the world? Checking a little bit. You know, I'd let the thing warm. I'd been walked away, I'd given it plenty of time. It should be warm by now. And I got looking around a little bit. Yeah, it was plugged in, and then I remembered, oh, wait a minute. You see, in the house in which we now live, in the area that is the library area, that house is all fixed up with the outlets hooked up to the same thing as the light switches. You got to turn the outlet on, which I hadn't. Simple matter of flicking the switch and everything worked fine, and then give it a couple of minutes and, well, don't look at my shirt too close because I'm the one that ironed it, so, you know, but the iron worked then. It's amazing how much better the iron works when, one, it's plugged in, and two, it's plugged into the right outlet that actually has power. Amazing the difference that makes. Today, we've been walking through what do Adventists believe and why from the scripture. Today, we're going to talk about, and humanity is mortal. What's that? So we're going to talk about the mortality of human beings. Man is mortal. What's that mean? And what's that have to do with anything? And why is that a big deal? And by the way, let me see if I can throw a little heresy in there, okay? See if I can mess you up a little bit. All right? What's going on here? Who do you think you are anyway? Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It was read for us, but let's go there again. Notice what the scripture says. Notice, if you will, and God formed the man of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. How many of you have a soul? How many of you have a soul? And I'm going to mess with you here. First of all, let me tell you, I don't. Okay? I don't have a soul. And I'm going to tell you that based on what we just read. Okay? Now, it's simple mathematics here, okay? And the simple mathematics is, remember, help me with this now. What's 1 plus 1? 2. Okay? You always need to remember that. 1 plus 1 equals 2. Now, how do you check your math to make sure it's right? You reverse it. You go 2 minus 1 equals 1. If they don't add up, you've got it wrong, okay? Notice, if you will, most of the world today will tell you 2 minus 1 equals 2. Most of the world is going to tell you that. Now, let's try this again. 1 plus 1 equals what? We always remember that. Now go back to your verse. And the Lord God sculpted. The Lord God went digging in the dirt, and digging in the mud, probably, because sculptor works better with mud than it does with just plain old dirt that doesn't have some, you know, the clay is probably a better way of saying it. Had a little water in it. Then the Lord got in there and got digging in the dirt and got digging in the clay, and it says, he made the body. But what did we have there when he got done with the making? It's just sitting there, okay? Leonardo da Vinci, if I got the right one, you know, can take a hammer and chisel and could turn a rock into a sculpture, but what he couldn't do, but all the thing does is sit there because it's missing something. What's it missing? Yeah, it's just a body sitting there, whether made of clay or made of granite or made of whatever. It doesn't amount to much when it's just sitting there. So God had to do what else to the one that was just laying there? He had to go, he had to give it mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Or in this case, not resuscitation, because it hadn't been alive at all before. He had to give it recitation. Okay? Now notice again, what's the scripture say? 1 plus 1 equals 2. We got a body, and we got the breath of life, and when the two are together, we've got a person. And by the way, again, it says, man became a living soul. I am a living soul. I don't have one. My soul is not like a hat that sits on my head, and I can take it off and put it on whenever I want to. No. I don't have a soul, I am one. It's what I am. But notice again what living soul means. 1 plus 1 equals 2. Might be well to remember 2 minus 1 equals 1. It doesn't equal 2. Most of the Christian world is going to try and tell you bad math. They're going to try and tell you that 2 minus 1 still equals 2. And I'm telling you, you know better than that. The math doesn't add up. Does that make sense? You see what I'm saying? If you got a body, it's just sitting there dead until you got some breath of life into it. Until you have the breath of life into it, you don't have a body, you just have a body. Take away the body, you just have breath of life. You don't have much either. The two together makes you a living being or person or soul, all says the same thing. All right? Ladies, lest you think, wait a minute, that's just a man. I love God's sense of humor. I love God's sense of humor. Has this thing all figured out, all put together, and then he says, now, Mr. Man, you just woke up. I got a job for you. I want you, you've got dominion, I'm going to let you name all the animals as they're coming along, and they're coming along, and how are they coming along? You got two of them, and two of these, and two of these, and two of these, and whatever it is, some big thing comes along with a long nose, and God said, and Adam looked at it and kind of laughed and said, elephant. Another one with a big old long neck, and he looked at that thing and said, giraffe. God says, okay, that's what it is. And we're going through this all along. That's what that is. Okay, that's what it is. And that's, okay, that's what it is. And finally, I don't know how long it took, but at some place along the gang, the man looked at God and said, wait a minute, something's wrong here. What's wrong here? Well, there's two of them, and there's two of them, and there's two of them. How come there's only one of me? And I would imagine whether he said it out loud or whether he didn't, God must have chuckled to himself and said, I wonder how long it'd take you to figure that out. Then what does God do? Well, look at what it says. Verse 18 in chapter 2. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. In other words, God had that figured out before the man did. I will make him a helper comparable to him. By the way, your Old English, your King James Version will use the expression helpmeet. Okay, you know what the word means in Hebrew? Means to cover the weakness of. Means to cover the weakness of. Okay? Now, there's a couple of things with that. Is that only feminine? In other words, are women only to cover the weakness of the man? Or could that be a two-way street? Does that make sense? Okay, going along here. In other words, God had this thing figured out ahead of time. Verse 19, it says, and the Lord God formed man, formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call it. And whatever Adam called it, that's what it was. And Adam named it all. Verse 20, it says, but for Adam there was not found a helper compatible to him. I wonder how long it'd take him to figure that out. All right, take a nap. Verse 21, Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took from his ribs and closed up the flesh in it. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he did what? He made, he created, he sculpted. Ladies, you're not an afterthought. It was all part of the original plan, just as sculpted as the man, just as one of the men, and the same thing, just as sit there, the clay just as dead as it when it's formed as it was before until it gets and became a person. Right? Now here's the question. Let me get a little heresy into the equation here, all right? Let me scare you a little bit. Could it be that God created relationship and created for relationship, and how long did God create with the intent of having relationship? Either for himself, people to God, or for each other. What was God's intent on how long the relationship? Take your Bible and turn to the New Testament. It's to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Well, like I said, I'm going to really get heretical here for a minute, all right? Really going to get heretical. 1 Timothy, chapter 6. 1 Timothy, chapter 6. Verse 13 and onward. I urge you in the sight of God to give life to all things, whether before Jesus Christ, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, or sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality. What's that? Immortality. That means not subject to death. Okay? Who alone has that? Now I want to suggest something to you. Maybe a little bit heretical, but I hope I can fix it and take the heresy out of the equation, okay? Who are you? You were created of God, in the image of God. Who's in the image of God, male or female? Chapter 1, verse 26 says, and the Lord God made man, and made male and female in the image of God. So which one's in the image of God? Okay. And God's intent was that everybody be created to be immortal. But could I add one thing? My dad, been an old farmer, took a job at a college developing, fixing on the grounds department, fixing all the equipment, okay, keeping it running. He became pretty well known for it, and neighbors from all over the place, if they didn't take it to the grounds department, they would bring their lawnmowers to my dad to fix whenever they were had a problem. And it was not unusual that somebody would come along and bring this or drop off that or whatever. You'd come home and find a lawnmower sitting there because somebody would, you know, you might not know whose it was, but they'd come back and get it later, assuming the dad would get it fixed. Well, one of the neighbors, interesting guy, Dr. Vaughn was one of these guys. He was a medical doctor. He had, I think it was three major specialties of medical profession. He was one of those guys that always, whenever you would see him anywhere doing anything, if he was sitting, he always had a book with him because he was always reading, okay? He loved to read, he loved to study, he loved to whatever. He had three major professions of being a physician, and just for the fun of it, he had a law degree too. He was one of those, okay? Anyway, and always in a hurry because he was always too busy. So anyway, one day he comes by and brings the lawnmower to my dad. He says, here's the lawnmower. I'll come pick it up later. Dad says, what's wrong with it? He says, I don't know. That's why I'm bringing it to you. I'll be back later. Okay. So he comes back later and he says, is my lawnmower fixed? My dad says, yeah. He says, how much do I owe you? Don't worry about it. Well, what was wrong with it? I don't worry about that either. Oh. Well, what was wrong with it? Dad says, you don't want to know. Don't worry about it. Okay, so he gets his lawnmower. He's loading it up in the truck, and he turns around, and he looks at Dad, and he says, was it out of gas? My dad says, yeah. Now, Dr. Vaughn was an interesting guy and didn't take himself too seriously. So from getting the thing in the back of the truck to getting in the front of the truck, you could hear him muttering to himself, three medicals, I don't know, I got to remember to put gas in there, you know. What? You know, he was frustrated at himself. So brilliant. My dad always had a rule. Somebody brought him a lawnmower. What's the first thing you do? The first thing you do is check and see if there's any gas in it. The second thing he would always do is pull the wire off the spark plug and check and see if there was any spark on it. He had a system of you check this, then you check this, then you check this. You don't go start taking an engine down until you first see if there's gas in the tank. Okay? You know what? Engines work better when there's gas in the tank. Did you hear about the fella? Out sawing wood. Sawing his wood. He had one of those big, long, super saws, and he's sawing his wood. And one of his neighbors was telling him, man, you're working too hard. You need to get a chainsaw. Oh, okay, so he went and got one. His neighbor came back by again, and he says, man, I'm working harder than I ever worked before. I hate that thing. Take it away from me. The neighbor says, what's wrong? I can't get it. It's slower than my regular saw. The neighbor says, well, must be something wrong with it then. He pulled the cord and the thing goes vroom, and the guy says, what's wrong? What was that? If it's a gasoline engine, it works better when there's gasoline in it. And it works better if you start it. If it's something that's electrical, it works better if it's plugged in. And it works better if you're plugged into the right source. Doesn't matter if you're plugged in or not, if the plug doesn't have any power. You were created to be immortal as long as you're plugged in. Anybody ever run a vacuum cleaner? Been stuck on the wrong end of that thing a few times too. Something funny about a vacuum cleaner. Usually does pretty good, usually picks up pretty well, goes pretty well. But have you ever been so busy vacuuming that you not realize you came to the end of your cord? Have you ever had that happen? Be vacuuming away and all of a sudden... It works well when it's plugged into the right source. Unhooked means not so good. Can I take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 9? The Apostle Paul says something here that you might look at as kind of strange. Now, here again, God's intended purpose was that people be created for relationships to last forever, that we be immortal. And could I suggest, when God went working on the sin problem, he went working on the, it's still God's plan that you be immortal. Oh, you might take a nap in there, but God's plan is immortality. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and onward. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, okay? Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it, and everyone who has competed for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not for with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Now, watch what he says in this last verse. There's the punchline, verse 27. But I discipline my body, I bring it into subjection, unless when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Doesn't matter how good the vacuum cleaner, if it comes to the end of its power source, it's dead. If it's unhooked, it doesn't matter how pretty it is, it isn't going to work. And the Apostle Paul says, I really have to make sure that first and foremost, I stay plugged in. Might be good for all of us to remember that. First and foremost, that I stay plugged in. And not just plugged in, but plugged into the right source. In a sinful world, there's plenty of others out there offering, saying, oh, this is the better source, this is the better source, this is the better source. Stick to the one that has power in it. God's plan, from creation onward, is that people have life and have it more abundantly. But it only works if it's plugged in to the source. Who do you think you are? Well, I'm somebody that's created in the image of God. I'm somebody plugged into the source. Got immortality. As long as I stay plugged in. Is that heresy? You see what I mean? God's got big plans for you. Chapter 1, the Gospel of John. As many as received him, that is the one that gave the creating power in the first place, when sin came into the world, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. What does that mean? It means he turned the breaker on. Wow. I asked Sharon. Sharon usually picks the songs, does a great job with them. I asked to pick the song, the closing song. Hymn number 308, would you look at it? I want to close with one story. Hymn number 308. The song is written, if you look at it closely, it's written by Frank Belden. Who in the world is Frank Belden? I'll bet you won't find any Belden songs in very many other hymnals other than Adventist hymnals. Frank Belden was an Adventist. Frank Belden was an Adventist hymn writer. Now, the guy was amazing. The guy was something else, and he wasn't even a musician. He was trained as a printer. He worked at the Review and Herald in Berrien Springs, Michigan. He was trained as a printer. He was not trained as a musician. So it was pretty natural, the music stuff. Now, if you know your Adventist history, he had an auntie that was pretty famous, okay? His mother was the older sister of Ellen White. So auntie was Ellen White, okay? Frank was a printer, but he was a musician, and to me, I just marvel when I think of the story of this guy and his musical talent, okay? If you were to look in the index, and I encourage you to do it sometime, look in the index of the hymnal, and you'll find several Belden songs in there. And they're usually talking about different things that are Adventist doctrinal stuff. You know why? Belden was famous for sitting in the choir loft. He was a member of the choir of the church in the Battle Creek Church. And he would sit in the choir while the preacher was preaching, and he'd just sit there with a sketch pad. Most of the songs that are Belden hymns in your hymnal, he wrote during the sermon. And it was not uncommon for Belden to come up, and when the pastor went sat down, it was not uncommon for Belden to go and tap the pastor on the shoulder and say, "Could my wife and I sing the closing hymn?" And they would get an original that he wrote sitting in the choir loft listening to the sermon. You look at most of his, read through his songs, and you could probably get a pretty good idea what the pastor was talking about. But, you know, to me, I just can't believe he could sit there and he wrote the words and the music. His wife must have been a pretty good musician too, because she could sight read it and they'd do a duet. I mean, amazing. Another little comedy. Frank Belden must have been a tenor. And the reason I say that is, you know, churches sometimes make a new hymnal. Well, the Adventists did about the time I was in college. The hymnal that you have in front of me, I think, is copyrighted 1981 or something like that. It's 85? Okay. But the one before that, which was from the 40s to the 80s, you look at the Belden hymns, and it's almost as if the Belden hymns were the reason they redid the hymnal, because those things were so high nobody could sing them, and so they're kind of to bring down so that the rest of us can participate a little bit. So for all I know, it seems like he must have been a first tenor. I don't know. But sitting in the audience, in the choir loft, and write the whole song just based on what he's hearing. For somebody that couldn't tell you where middle C is, that's pretty impressive, okay, to have that kind of talent. Now, again, the man was a printer by profession. The music was just kind of a hobby. But he was pretty good at it. And somewhere along the line, he got a little frustrated. Nobody knows for sure what, but it seems like it was probably over copyrights. Remember, he worked at the press. And it seems the thinking is that Frank got frustrated because he felt like there was a copyright, that somebody stole a copyright. Now, it's a little bit of a dangerous thing to have your employer also be your home church. Misunderstandings can get really tricky under those circumstances. And Frank felt somebody in there, because he worked for the church press printer, that this misunderstanding really got him upset. But remember now, Frank's auntie just happened to be the prophet. So he comes up with a simple solution to his problem. He goes to auntie and asks her to fix it for him. And Ellen White's comment to him was, "You might be right, but your attitude isn't. And I'm not stepping in the middle." Which inflamed him. And Frank got more angry and more bitter and more. 40-some years later, Frank was getting a little long in the tooth. He was developing an illness that people had developed an illness. The word was out that he wasn't going to live a whole lot longer. Quite up in years, being told that he had an illness, one of the leading pastors came and knocked on his door and said, "Frank, would you like to kind of straighten things out?" You know what his answer was? "Do you still believe in that woman?" He meant Auntie. Everybody knew it. The end, the pastor. And the pastor said, "Do I still believe she has had the gift of prophecy? She was passed away many years before." "Frankly, yes, I do." To which Frank got up, walked to the door, opened it, and motioned, "You can leave now." Now, will Frank be in heaven or not? That's not mine to say. I'm not getting anywhere near that one. Any subject on that is above my pay grade. But I will say this. An incredible talent musically. When the anger and the bitterness took hold, the music stopped. The music stopped. Who do you think you are anyway? God's intended purpose, you were created in the image of God. You were recreated in Christ Jesus to be all things. God's intended purpose for you is to be immortal. As long as we stay plugged in. And plugged into the right power source. That is God's plan, God, that is God's purpose. And could I ask you to take your hymnal, turn it to hymn number 308, and let's sing together, "Holy Thine." What is the song about? Written by somebody who struggled with plugged-in-ism. God has big plans for you. Stay plugged in. Immortality is promised to be yours. Amen? Let's stand together. Why did the Apostle Paul say, keep holding on because I don't want it to get away? Read the book of Hebrews. It's all about don't let it slip away. Keep holding on because Jesus is better than anything else that's out there. Keep Amen. Holding on. Keep holding on. And could we say, who do you think you are? Keep holding on. Amen. Keep holding on. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for creating us with high ideals, high hopes, high intentions, and big plans. Amen. Keep holding on to us, we pray. And help us to stay plugged in, is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.